Order in the court. The Talking Puck podcast is now back in session. Plenty of topics on the docket today, in fact, and all of them related in one way or another. A lot of talk about IR, long-term IR, whether or not teams are hiding contracts, what's going on, especially in light of what's going on with Vegas and getting everybody back into the lineup right now and the way they're kind of massaging things. Mike and I talk about that, the difference between being hurt and being injured, what you play through, what you don't, and guys that we've seen grit it out when maybe they probably shouldn't have been out there. All that and more is coming your way on the Talking Puck Podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome into another edition of the Talking Puck Podcast. I'm Tom Callahan, along with Mike Haynes. We are here to talk some hockey with you, and please subscribe and follow our podcast if you like what you hear. We're here a couple of times a week with you, and don't forget we broadcast live on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Twitch, on YouTube, and Facebook Live. Also, if you missed the show, there is a replay, audio only, on stnradio.com every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, getting into today's topic, and of all the things that have been going on lately, this one is kind of broad across the league, but we're starting to see some guys coming back from injury. We're also starting to see some guys, unfortunately, knocked out, perhaps for as long as the season here, Mike. And, it has implications for both playoff and non-playoff teams. But right now, and I want to start with the Vegas Golden Knights, because everybody is looking at this team and their cap circus. I don't know how else to describe it. It's a circus. but looking at the guys they have right now, they have three players on long-term IR. Nick Hague, who makes $790. I'll just use round figures. Barrett Howden, a center, $885. And Riley Smith, $5 million. Mark Stone, $9.5 million. Well, that $9.5 million guy, Mark Stone, is threatening to come back. So
threatening?
Threatening to come back, but because Max Pacioretty's back, he's healthy now, he's out there. Our question is, what in the world is Vegas going to do? Because this would be a huge add, right? Like, this is a giant trade deadline acquisition. This is amazing. But with negative $9.9 million cap space, according to Puckpedia, how?
Well, it's... Well, you add in the fact that they just got Pacioretty back too, right?
Right.
So what they want is I thought what we were going to see was Eichel, Pacioretty, and Stone. That this is the line that they want to put together from all accounts. Not, we wouldn't see it until the playoffs. If they get in the playoffs, that's not even a guarantee.
Right.
But they certainly, if they get Stone in the lineup and they can play him with Eichel and Pacioretty, does several things. One, it gives you a better chance to win games if that line does connect, and there's never any guarantee that a line's going to have chemistry. Even you write it down on paper, you go, well, this has to work. It doesn't always, but let's say it does. Gives you a chance to make the playoffs, which is just huge for this team. But how in the world do you do this? I just thought for sure that they were going to have to wait until the playoffs, when you don't have those salaries count against the salary cap, that you could just put people, you have that Kucherov deal that happened with Tampa Bay last year. And Tom, I don't know. What's the explanation? Because Leonard's supposed to come back too, right? Leonard's coming back.
Right. And he's not even on long-term IR, but he might be okay. A move they would need to make, because Mike, here's the actual Ooh-wee. Number right now is yeah. 5 million. In current cap space available. So they need another 4.5. Here are the options to pick up 4.5 with one player move. And I'm not saying any of these guys are hurt or any of this, but here are the options.
Right. Mm-hmm.
William Karlsson, Evgeny Dadonov, who they did try to trade. And could still be traded. They could still move his salary off the books. He just wouldn't be playoff eligible wherever he went, and neither would whoever they get back. Right. Jonathan Marchessault, $5 million. And then Alex Pietrangelo, 8.8. Alec Martinez, 5.25. Yeah. Shea Theodore, 5.2. Yeah, and Robin Lehner, $5 million.
Well, you're not going to do that to your defense, right?
No.
You can't.
No.
You can't.
And Martinez is a linchpin guy for them, as much press and pub as Pietrangelo and Theodore get.
Right. Well, Do you revisit that trade then with Anaheim and say, okay, look, the league nixed this. Let's do it now. Even though he's playing really well.
He is. He's come back. He's been great.
I know. So, but you have to weigh, you go, do we want him? Do we want Stone?
Right.
You know, that's almost how you have to look at it at this point. You can't, if you expect Leonard to carry you during the playoffs, and he has to play, doesn't he, before the playoffs begin? Doesn't he have to get some games in? Or do you just throw him right into the fire once the playoffs start? If you get into the playoffs,
I would never drop a cold goalie into the playoffs if I could help it.
Right. And again, this is not a team that is sitting secure in the playoffs, Tom. They have to get in.
Yeah.
You know, they're on the outside right now.
And by the way, Leonard is back, Mike. I want to throw that in. Leonard is back right now.
Okay. Right. But there was talk of, okay, what do we do with that? That was an option at one point, though.
Right.
I'm thinking, okay, let's maybe we make this trade with Anaheim. We put Leonard long term, and then we can put Stone in the lineup. I mean, there's several moving parts here, but that, and I've heard different scenarios, but to me, if he's going to be your goalie in the playoffs, he's got to play some games down the stretch. And plus, he's got to win you some games to get in the playoffs. I know I've said that now three times, but I think you have to keep underlining that, Tom, that you can't just go, well, this is not Tampa Bay from last year where you go, let's just, you know what, we're fine. We're in, we'll get Kucherov back, and then we'll start rolling. These guys are in a battle right now to get into the playoffs. You got to have your best pieces going in this game, because, and that means having Stone in the lineup. Don't you think they've got to get that line some games before the playoffs start? And you got to have Leonard. To me, doesn't it make the most sense? You got to take one of those forwards. Who's the least productive right now? Are those guys that you know are making around $5 million that you could just go, okay, hey, you know what? Sorry, you hurt your ankle there at practice, but you're on long term IR.
And see, that's the funny thing, isn't it? Is you have William Karlsson, who's extremely streaky, but has shown that he could score 40 plus goals. Do you take him out or leave him in case he catches fire? Jonathan Marchessault has been playing better as of late, but you know, he's another streaky guy, and that's the problem with a lot of these names on this Vegas roster is they're streaky scorers. You know who they miss? Honestly, the guy they miss a lot is David Perron.
Mm.
I think Perron leaving and going back to St. Louis, that was huge. That was a huge loss for them, and it's not very talked about, but man, that's a guy they could use right now. But and to your point, Dodonov, since the trade, has come back into the lineup almost like he's had a renewed focus and an I'll show you attitude, and has played really well. So he's not even the guy necessarily you want to subtract.
No, if he's playing well, why would you want to get him out of the lineup? So that they've got a problem there in Vegas. And I want to talk about some other teams that are going through some things. You mentioned Perron, and St. Louis has got a nice little problem. They're getting Krug back. Back on defense, he's coming back to that team. So that's, I'll tell you what, I think St. Louis has won 5 games in a row. I'm telling you, they're going to be, now you put Krug back in there. I mean, he's the guy they picked up after Vegas signed their big defenseman, and they want him on, especially on the power play. And those power play goals in the playoffs can be huge. You know, when the scoring goes down, power play goal can be a big thing. So you get Krug back in the lineup, and I don't know. If I'm Minnesota, I'm going, whoa, wait a minute. This didn't look like the St. Louis team that was playing a month ago. This looks like a team that's playing right now, looking towards the playoffs to be a really tough team to deal with. So you got that injury, and then I want to talk about, and again, playoff implications. Want to talk about in Los Angeles with their star defenseman is done for the season. And when you take out a Drew Doughty, that's a big time loss for the Kings, who are trying to hang on and not let the Vegas Knights catch them.
And so as of our, we tape on Tuesdays generally. And so as of today, Vegas is outside looking in, but
right.
So they're out of the wild card entirely. There's 5 central teams in. but they're 2 points behind the Kings, and they have a game in hand. Now, for the wild card, it doesn't look as good for Vegas because they're 2 points behind Dallas, three behind Nashville, but have one more game played. However, Los Angeles has already played 74 games at 86 points. So if Vegas wins the game in hand, they're even, and all bets are off. Now, Vegas, if they get Stone back versus Doughty out for the Kings, that doesn't look as good for Los Angeles. And also, Los Angeles is cooling off lately. They were 4-4-2 and on a three-game losing streak anyway in their last 10 there. So, man, I don't know. Maybe, and we kind of speculated about this on Sunday, if they're running out of gas and now you lose Doughty, that could be what pushes LA out of the picture.
Yeah, no, he's going to have wrist surgery. That's season ending. So it's not even a situation where, okay, maybe we can limp into the playoffs. We get Doughty back at some point. Now, he's done.
Right.
He's done. And he's your cornerstone. I mean, that's a huge loss for them. Huge. They've only won four of their last 10. They lost three in a row. They're sputtering right now. And that is also, when you compare two, that's a team, their goal differential, Tom, they're -2. Vegas is a +18. You know, that's, Los Angeles, that's a team that's just trying to hold on to a playoff spot.
Right.
And that's a whole different attitude than a Vegas who is trying to, you know, to put it together to get in there. You know what's amazing? I don't know how much you think about this goal differential stuff, but compare Nashville and Dallas. Those are the two wild card teams, separated by a single point, right? Nashville is a +26. Dallas is a -3. Isn't that bizarre that they're separated by just 1 point and but their differential is 23 in difference? That's really odd to me.
It says to me that Dallas is prone to having nights where they give up a lot. And that's, you know, how different is that mentality, Mike, in the playoffs when you go in and get shellacked 7-2 versus when it happens in the middle of January? I think it's easier to shake off a 7-2 loss January 15th than it is May 15th. You know, because now all of a sudden, and we know how the pressure cooker works with the press. All the questions come at you. What's wrong with the defense? What's, you know, everything's under a microscope and it's magnified, you know, 100 times. So I definitely think that that's not, doesn't bode well for Dallas.
No. Well, if you look, like if you go to the East, and I don't know, we're talking injuries here, but this just caught my attention. Just looking at the teams and the injuries and who's going to get in over in the East, Tom, all 8 teams right now that are going to be in the playoffs, it's set basically. They're all at least a +30 in the East. In the West, there's a chance that the playoffs started today. 2 of the teams, LA and Dallas, would be -1 in their goal differentials. Bizarre. Really bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Anyway. But the other guy I want to talk about, this doesn't necessarily have playoff implications, but just interesting, I think, to any hockey person, is with the injury in Montreal to Jake Allen. And Carey Price has been traveling with the team, practicing, and there's talk that he might get in the game here before the end of the season.
Yeah, and you know what? That, Mike, is going to be incredibly interesting, too, because we are now talking about Jake Allen's out for the year, so is Justin Braun. But Carey Price to come back. And I've been following the comeback somewhat for Price and his setbacks. He's been having setbacks. He's been having problems. And, man, I feel for Carey Price because he so badly wants to go back to playing hockey. But it's just, you know, it's been hard mentally and physically on him. Well, now, maybe we're going to get a situation where if he does get back and he's able to play, they really could use him to come in. But here's what I like about the situation for Carey Price. There is no pressure. You know, if he gets blown out in a couple of starts, that's fine. Just the fact that he shows he can come back. This is a next season project. But it's important that he gets some confidence for next season. And so that, I think, is what I'm really looking forward to for him. Man, I hope he comes back and I hope he dominates. But if he doesn't, I'm not worried about it. I'm just glad to see that he gets back into the lineup. That is a big one, though. Here's the other reason why for Montreal. We talked about, you know, when Vegas had Fleury, they had, you know, 14 or 12 million tied up in their goaltenders. with the return of Carey Price, Montreal has a lot of money tied up in goaltenders, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that is also going to have implications possibly over the summer. Just a quick look here. Price is 10.5. Jake Allen's 2.875. So there you go. That's $13 million in goaltenders.
Right. Right. And I think they're going to want some better goaltending.
Yeah.
Just to wrap up my little goal differential. Montreal is the worst. They're worse than Arizona. They're minus 87 this year. So that goaltending is very important. And you know what? I almost went off on a really good question for you. I'll just throw it out at you anyway. We can talk about this another time. But is Montreal the greatest hockey city for goaltenders? Is goaltenders the most important position in Montreal rather than any other NHL city, with their history, with everything?
That's a good one.
I think it is.
That's a good one. We can get into that at some point. I like that one. That's a good question.
Oh, I know. Sorry. This is the way my brain works. I know. Let's talk injuries. And I'm going, goal differentials. Oh, who's the best goaltending town? Sorry, Tom.
That's all right.
My brain works that way.
The other thing I wanted to bring up, too, is, by the way, Mike, too, Colorado. Nazem Kadri, as of April 2nd, they say he's going to miss time. Might be back for the playoffs, but now we're talking about, you know, the NHL's at one point fifth leading scorer. Gabe Landeskog had knee surgery March 16th. So, and I'm sure they're going to try to hustle him back for the playoffs if possible, but that's a big loss as well. So that's another one. And I know a lot of these are in the West, but man, those are big playoff implication names that we're talking about with these Western teams. And it could skew the chase, because here's the other thing I want people to think about. This is not just looking for whether or not a team gets a guy back for the playoffs, but if you're Vegas and you have a game against Colorado, do you want to play against Landeskog and Kadri, or would you rather have them out of the lineup? That could help Vegas earn those 2 points on that given night, or any other team that's got a guy out. So it affects the rest of the race, too, and possibly playoff positioning. We're settled up top, but not all the way through.
You know, it becomes interesting too. Just to follow that, if a team is sitting so far ahead of everybody, they've worked hard to get there. Certainly, is it better than to play a team that is already? They've got nowhere to go. They are going to finish first. And same thing if you played Calgary, you're going to finish first in your division. Is it better to play a team like that that's just kind of cruising and wants to make sure they get through games without anybody else getting hurt, back to our injury topic, getting hurt to get into the playoffs? You know what I'm saying? Rather than playing a team that's scrapping trying to get in. Even though that other team on paper is a better team, if you will, they got a better record, better talent. But maybe this is the right time of year to be playing a top team. Maybe they just want to make sure they don't get anybody else hurt.
I mean, yeah, could you catch Colorado on a letdown, especially being protective of their players? Maybe. You might catch them on an off night and get a 2-point bonus out of the deal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's – but to your point, again, you know, Vegas certainly – actually, maybe they do want someone to get hurt. I don't know.
Yeah, no,
I hate
do.
To say it that way, but you know, it's like it really depends who it is and how long they're up.
They do.
Yeah.
No, they're hoping McKinnon runs headfirst in the boards. No.
I mean, it's
come on, be honest. Well, of course they do.
But I just meant on their own roster, Mike. They're looking for $5 million in cap space.
Oh, I'm sorry. I see what you're saying.
They might kneecap somebody in the morning skate just to get them out of the lineup for 2 weeks.
Or you're going down the stairs and you just push him from behind.
Oh, my goodness. It's like, I don't know what happened, Coach. He fell.
Really? Because it looked like you pushed him, Coach.
I know. Yeah. I have no comment at this time.
That's just a rumor. You know, boy, what is Vegas going to do? But to me, isn't Stone he's the guy. You got to get that line together, and you got to have Leonard playing. So you've got to. There's got to be a sacrificial lamb. There's got to be one of those three guys that you mentioned, the forwards. That's going to have to be the sacrifice. You have to.
I feel like five million bucks. Mike, they don't want to get rid of Dodonov because of how well he's playing. I think somebody's going to end up on long-term IR for the rest of the year. I don't see any other way around it. They must have a mark already, someone who's going to be the player that is, practice injury. He's going to leave practice early. No one's going to see what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
Out for April.
Boy. Is that... I know the league's not going to do anything about that.
No, they won't.
But it's interesting. You know, it's because the NHL is not highly looked at in terms of betting. Like in the NFL, the injuries are so scrutinized, aren't they? Just because of fantasy football, because of the betting, there's so much scrutiny on injuries. Staying on this topic, do you think the NHL? And I'm going to say I think they should change their policy of how you announce injuries and being honest about them and being maybe a little more forthcoming. Do you think the NHL should change the way that teams are allowed to deal with the team injuries?
Personally, I don't care.
Really?
Would it be nice to have a little more honesty? I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you and I both know from being around teams, we know what's up with a guy a lot of times, and it's not public, right. But you know, they're saying, oh, he'll be back next week, and you know, you and I might be having a conversation going, he is done for 2 months.
Oh yeah.
You know,
right.
But they're keeping the facade. I don't really care one way or the other how they deal with the injuries, because maybe with the exception of the NFL, because there are such stringent fines in place for misreporting injuries, I don't think the league cares. And, you know, fans kind of want to know, but there's no point. You know what I mean? There's no real point to knowing. And look, some franchises, quite frankly, to sell tickets have to sell hope.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, you have to sell that hope. So, I mean, if it doesn't change, it won't bother me. Do I think it's weird? Absolutely. I think it's one of the strangest things I've seen, the way this sport deals with injuries. And whoever was the first one to come up with a lower body, upper body, I mean,
you know, come on. I know.
At some point, it would just be like, it's an on the body injury.
And those aren't even honest.
No.
You say lower body. If you're in the playoffs and you say lower body, that's a shoulder injury.
I was just going to say, that's a shoulder.
I know.
Time for a quick break, then back with more of the Talking Puck Podcast in just a moment. You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now back to the show.
All right, here's my question of the podcast for you. What player, in any level, was the most courageous player you saw playing with an injury?
Ooh, that's a good one. There's some pretty good ones out there. I mean, I've seen guys either limp through or whatever some stuff. Can I tell you, I don't think he ever actually came back to play for us, but the worst injury I've seen that was caused by, and this, if you're sensitive, I'm telling you right now, just fast forward this podcast a minute and a half. Dennis Grebashkov was playing defense for the Predators when I was there, and he blocked a shot.
Oh, no.
With his groin. Ended up, Mike, actually losing a testicle. Because of it.
There was a St. Louis goaltender that happened to, too, right? Yeah.
No pun intended, by the way. I just kind of made myself cringe.
I was trying to let that one roll.
I'm sorry, Dennis. Oh, my God. I'll never forget that. But you know what? He got up and skated off the ice.
Oh.
Like, he blocked the shot, and he got, and he kind of, like, he did the crouched over skate off the ice. I don't know how he made it off the ice.
Oh, I don't know.
I do not know.
That must have scared you to death being a goalie. Worrying about that particular injury.
So I actually, I eventually went to a double cup system. And if you're a goaltender and you're listening, this is an educational moment, especially if you're a younger goalie. I went to like the under smaller player jock, and then the goalie jock is a little more built up, has more padding on it. I eventually just got comfortable with wearing both.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how important that is to protect yourself. So if you're a goaltender, or maybe you're the parent of a goaltender, get them on that system as soon as possible. Like the normal supporter and cup underneath, and then the bigger goalie one on the other side over top of it. Trust me, it has to be done. It. Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to have that conversation today on the ride home from school with my son.
Yep. Yep.
That's almost as hard as having the talk, but we're going to do it. So
like, son, I don't think you're going to be able to play pro. Ooh, no. Not that talk. Yeah, time for a reality kid. What was yours?
I got to say it was one of the other either Forsberg playing through a game when his spleen was ruined and they had to remove it after
the game.
Remember
that, yeah.
In 2001, that same year, Sakic played in the finals. He could not lift his arm up above his shoulder at all. Couldn't move it. It was so badly injured, but yet scored a big goal in Game 7 to win it, to help win Game 7. He couldn't move his arm. It was unbelievable. The guys were telling, the trainers were telling me later that they just couldn't believe he was playing. So that at least what I was told, that was just incredible what he did. So.
I always think it's crazy when you hear after the playoffs the injury reports.
Doesn't that floor you?
Like, this guy just skated on a broken foot for four playoff series.
Right, right.
What?
When you hear those, I know, you hear that kind of stuff. The shoulder injuries, too. And the ribs, broken ribs, whatever, you know, and just.
Who was it that had a punctured lung? Somebody had a punctured lung, played through the playoffs with a punctured lung one time.
Oh. Wow.
I'm trying to remember that didn't know it was actually that. I think they had to go to the hospital later and then like, hey man, you got a punctured lung. But stuff like that happens, and guys just are programmed to play through it. You know,
it's absolutely amazing what they do. And that, do you remember? And gotten to know Ian LaPerriere through the years, and he was playing for Philadelphia near the end of his career, and he blocked a shot with his mouth, and just all the teeth came out, and got a concussion with it, and he tried to come back and play. I mean, it was these guys are, they're a different world. I mean. The one that you told me about the Nashville player, I'd still be on the ice crying for my mom.
Oh, Grebby, that poor guy.
I know.
He was a good guy too. Good guy, like just everybody liked him. But man,
yeah, that's a vicious injury for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Boy, what a happy broadcast.
But Mike, I feel like we've learned something today. We've learned something.
Wear two cups, boys.
Yes, cups. Absolutely. Don't even horse around with that.
And you know what? Also, I know this is going to sound silly, and I just say this because I'm coaching a couple of high school teams right now.
it is. I know this sounds silly, but it really isn't. There is a life lesson in playing hurt. If you can learn, as silly as it is, playing through hurt in a hockey game, it will help you in life when life is going to hurt you in other ways, not just physically, but it'll hurt you on the ways. And if you can find ways to mentally get through things, it really truly is, Tom, as a young player, learning to play through hurt will help you later in life. I really truly believe in that.
Okay. I have an Eric Lindros story off of that. Okay. When Lindros was first in the league, remember how he seemed like he was getting hurt all the time? You know, like everything was keeping him out. Well, right. On SportsCenter, back when SportsCenter was important and covered hockey, Keith Olbermann was on the show. And, you know, Olbermann's a big hockey fan, but he had the thing, and they showed a shot of Lindros looking at his hand on the bench, and Olbermann quips, Eric Lindros, there's Lindros examining the hangnail that'll probably keep him out for 2 weeks.
Ooh.
And well, so Lindros got mad at him. And came after him about it. But one of the veterans in the Flyers, and I wish I could remember, but this story is in Olbermann and Patrick's book. One of the veteran players on the Flyers basically took Lindros aside and said, you have to learn that there's a difference between being hurt and being injured.
Mm-hmm.
You can play through being hurt.
Right.
You can't play through being injured. And there is a difference. And that actually later on, it's funny, Lindros actually kind of came back to Olbermann and said, you know, hey, that was kind of a wake-up call for him as far as his career went. It's the difference between being hurt and being injured. Now, obviously, Lindros would also go on to be injured quite a bit. But, you know, it just sometimes you don't realize like what your potential is, what your ceiling is, or you think you know what your ceiling is, but you don't realize you can reach beyond that. Until you go through this kind of you know, obstacles and roadblocks and find a way to push through. And then on the other side of it, you go, wow, I'm capable of more than I thought.
That's absolutely. And it really teaches. It's a real life lesson. I think it should start young. And there's no better example in any sport than hockey players playing through hurt. It's a great example. And I think it's a way that you have to approach life that, as you said, there are injuries that, and you don't play, but when you're hurt, you just keep on going. So, anyway, we certainly, both of us have seen, you know, situations that you just go, how in the world is that guy still playing? That's incredible. It's really, really, really admirable. Sometimes the injuries and the hurt that I've seen guys have and they continue to play, really inspiring.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There are some really tough cookies out there. But that said, if you have a real serious injury or a concussion or anything like that, please get checked out by a doctor. If you're dizzy, if you're vomiting, if you're sensitive to light, if you have any of these issues, get checked out.
All right. Can I tell you something? It just happened this weekend.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Buckle up.
No, it's not quite that crazy. But coaching a game, and we're in, and I'm sure you've been in these arenas where I'm on the bench coaching, obviously, and there's the overhang kind of over the bench where parents can just, you know, they can talk to you if they want to. So the kid on the team gets hurt. Can open from behind. They twist his legs. They push his head in the glass. He's down on the ice. I got to take him, pull him off the ice. He's on the bench. He's wobbly. He's obviously hurt his head. So go through the first period ends. Second period, he goes, Coach, I want to get back out there. So we go out to the bench after the period ends. He's like, I'm ready to go. All of a sudden his mom leans over and says, Coach, how's he doing? I go, well, you know, he's not playing. Kyle, you go in the locker room, take your stuff off, we're going home. And he just goes, okay, Mom. I go, you know, when Mom makes the ruling, that's it. Yep. Done. you're done. I mean, we can talk about being tough and playing through things, but when mom says it's time to go home, that's it. I just got the biggest kick out of it. Mom just goes, you're not playing. Go in the locker room, take your stuff off, we're going home. Oh, it just made me laugh.
Most moms are going to err on the side of caution, and certainly she did. So.
And it was a head injury, and right. She was absolutely 100% right. And he did, and I got the email the next day that he did have a concussion. But I don't know. I just got a kick out of just mom leaning over from the top of the bench and going, Kyle, go in the locker room, take your stuff off.
That's so funny. I love it.
It's classic.
Right. Speedy recovery, Kyle. We've outed you on a national podcast.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Sorry, yeah, sorry. Hopefully Kyle and his friends are not listening. Actually, I hope they are listening. That could be even more interesting. So
we need more listeners.
Yes. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Speaking of which, everybody, we appreciate you being here. And just to remind you, Mike and I, appreciate you following the podcast, all the listens, everything, the shout outs. Share it with your friends. If you like what you hear, please tell more people about it. And as Mike just said, hey, we're always looking for more listeners. We love to talk about hockey, and we love more and more people to follow us. And you know what? Maybe someday, Mike, we might be able to make a living at this game.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
It really would.
That's right. I can make mom proud. That would be nice.
There you go. Absolutely. So, all right. You can subscribe anywhere you get your podcast. Don't forget, we are live at 9 p.m. every Sunday night. Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. And, of course, stnradio.com. Monday nights at 7 p.m. It is the audio replay of the Sunday night show if you miss it there as well. So, in the meantime, thanks for jumping in with us, everybody. And we look forward to talking to you on Sunday night. So, for Mike, I'm Tom. Thanks again for listening to the Talking Puck Podcast.